Father in heaven, we open this precious book, Lord, and we come to you in prayer, realizing how much we need you, not only to study, not only to seek out and search the Word of God, but have the power that's needed to present that which we try to learn from our heart and our mind. And last Sunday we started this service, this sermon, and we want to finish it today, dear Lord, as we look at this special presentation of the Scriptures that you give to us, written for us in our day. And I pray somehow or another, as I yield to thee, that someone will learn something to know more about you. And those who would be trying to use the fact of just believing in Jesus is enough to be saved, dear Father, realize that the Bible teaches us there's more to it than just the facts. And that's what we're trying to see in these verses. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I thank God for the facts, but a lot of folks memorize the facts and never know what it is to be born again. How do I know that? Because Satan himself has the facts, but God teaches us he'll never be saved. He's lost forever. No chance for him to ever be saved. And even the demons of hell, we've seen, believe in the fact of Jesus Christ. Now, our text is found, I call this understanding Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then he tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, last week, we started back in chapter 9, verse 30, and we were looking from 9:30 all the way up through chapter 10, verse 17. And the reason for that, for Paul is trying to set forth the understanding in the Scriptures, the Old Covenant to the point, and the New Covenant. And the law dominated the Old Covenant, and Jesus Christ dominates the New Covenant. And he's laying out the fact that that in the age of grace, this law that God gave at Mount Sinai to Israel, no man has ever kept it except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, no man would ever enter into heaven with God by keeping the law. Why? The law curses us, because if one person cannot keep the law, if nobody can keep the law, then everybody is cursed. If one person cannot keep the law, it's cursed. You have to keep the law in its entirety not to be cursed. And the Bible teaches us if we're offended in one place, we're guilty of it all. So we understand this people who talk about keeping the law to be saved don't understand God's emphasis on the law. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd understand this, anybody could have kept the law, Jesus Christ would have never had to come. Why? Because they could have saved as much so as he could have. Why? Because Jesus Christ did keep the law. And that proved to us as a man he was able to do what the law could not do. So when I go through this, I began to understand in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 2, if you look, he said about Israel, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He says they got a zeal. They've got that power and energy to try to serve God in the dues, but he said they don't do it by knowledge. Why? For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what did the Apostle Paul mean when he talked about in chapter 10, verse 9 and 10? We already see that you can be misguided in the Scriptures. And there's nothing in this world worse than being misguided. The misguided religious exercises is something that's very terrible. And there's a lot of folks who are involved with the Word of God are misguided about that Word. And Paul is doing his best to try to understand the difference and show us between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and how Jesus Christ dominates both. You know, you say amen, amen, amen. We've been saying so much this week, we're probably got it, but listen to me now, because I'm leading into something to finish this message for last week, understanding Romans chapter 9, verse 10. When you look at this, this needs clarification of our day, because Satan believes that God himself raised Jesus from the dead. But as I said before, Satan will never be saved. He cannot be saved. So this leads us to this question, is my acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord like Satan leading to damnation, or is it like Paul's that leads to salvation? And I said last week, I want to appeal to your mind. I want to appeal to your mind for the sake of your heart. And I want to appeal for the sake of your salvation and your soul. Because if you don't understand this, you can be misled. You know, Paul doesn't mislead us. He said some things, and he puts them in context with each other, and he puts them in systematic order so we can understand it. But listen, there are some things he makes it easy, but he wants us to know the easy part was not easy with God. It cost him his son. And he wanted us to know, hey, if there had been a way to be saved without Jesus Christ coming, you think that Jesus Christ would have come? He wouldn't have had to come. You know why Jesus Christ came? For us, there's no resource of any kind that God could save humanity as far as mankind is concerned unless he did come. Amen. He gave us 4,000 years, and we've got 6,000 years now, and we can prove without him we cannot do anything that pleases God. And so there's something wrong with us along that line. So I appeal to your mind, your heart. Now, behind chapter 9, 10, and 11 of Romans lies a practical theological problem that Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, was guided to try to solve for those who were believers. Those unsaved will never see it. But those who are saved ought to be able to see it because God has given this information. And they do this as they trust and obey God and the promises he's made to us. Now, if Israel had kept the law in the past, Jesus would never had to come. Amen. Do you know enough about the Bible to say amen to that? If Israel had ever kept the law in the past, Jesus Christ would never had to come. And if Jesus Christ had not kept the law in fullness, we'd be looking for another Messiah. That's right. So I want you to understand why we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Without him, there is no way that a person can ever know what is to be saved. And so we look at God calls them once to rely on his help and obey his command, but they fail to do just that. So what we find in Romans 10, Paul's heart, desire, and prayer, he said, was that they were to trust the Lord. His prayer was that they might be saved. Now, why would those? And here's the question. If this is so real and clear to the church in the age of grace and to the Christian, then why in the world, ladies and gentlemen, would those who had lived under God's teaching of the law for 1,550 years reject the very one who came to fulfill the law? You know, they knew they did not fulfill the law. Why? They were given the sacrifices every year in the call during the year. Why would they give the sacrifices they didn't need to? If they kept the law, they wouldn't have to give a sacrifice. So they gave the sacrifices like God said, but they didn't live like God said when the sacrifices were given. And therefore, they kept breaking it. And they had a routine, kind of like Christians do sometimes. Well, I believed in Christ, but I'll live like I want to. That's exactly what Israel said in their day, and that's what they did. They changed things traditionally and otherwise and ended up not obeying God to the fact that they had misled and been misrepresented what God was saying, that when the Messiah came, they didn't even recognize him because they were too far away from God at that particular time. So Paul answered these questions in chapter 9, verse 30 through chapter 10, verse 17. So last week we looked at why did the Jews reject the first thing. There's 4 points quickly. Why did the Jews reject Jesus Christ? And he starts out by explaining that Christ and the law were not at odds with each other. That's what some people can't understand. The law itself and Christ, what he did, are not at odds with each other. It's the fact that Jesus fulfilled the law, but he didn't minimize the law. It did not cease to be. God's law is just as holy as it's ever been. And we saw that last week. So here, we look down and we see that Israel misused the point of the law and turned it into a job description by which to try to earn wages from God. In verse 32 of chapter 9, that's what he says. Wherefore, because they sought it by faith, not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They literally took the law and thought in itself they could get their own righteousness. They misused the point of Christ and saw their own righteousness threatened by the message of faith, which was God given us his righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so since Israel missed the point of the law, which was by faith, they missed the point of who Jesus Christ was, which is also by faith. Now the second one to get today to start where we left off last week is this. The message of the law and the message of Christ are essentially the same message. How do you get that, preacher? Because if you could kept the law, you'd been righteous. If you trust Christ, you'll be righteous. Amen. It's the same. The message of the law and the message of Christ is the same, except when you try to keep the message of the law, we come short, and the law which should bless us curses us. But Jesus Christ, who wants to bless us, will bless us by making us be born into the family of God if we believe the record that God gave of His Son. So what we couldn't get by keeping the law because we didn't keep the law, we can get by trusting Jesus Christ because He did keep the law. And then impute to us the righteousness that God says that we have to have before we get to heaven on the other side. So when I see this, I began to see some tremendous things in life. Christ, He says in verse 4, watch, I read to you last week, chapter 10, and in verse 4, I see Jesus Christ coming down, and as He died, Paul said, for Christ is the end of the law. Now, I'm glad He didn't put a period there. If He had, the law would have no meaning whatsoever. But He clarified what He was saying. Christ is the end of the law. What is it? For righteousness. Did you see that? Somebody said, well, you're trying to do away with the law. Listen, folks, listen to me. Look at me. The law is just as holy now as it was when God gave it on Mount Sinai. The law is just as real now, is just as influenced now, just as important now as it was when He gave it in Mount Sinai. But what happened is the law cannot give us righteousness because we've all broke it. Why? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to cease from looking at the righteousness comes by the law, and we have to look at the new covenant, at what Christ did for us by the Spirit, that we might be made alive unto Him in Jesus Christ. So for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, everyone that believes. Paul does not mean in the sense that the law is terminated, that it's not, that it has no bearing whatsoever. That law still shows us that we're sinners. It still shows us that there's something wrong between us and God. And the only thing we can see in righteousness is the righteousness imputed to us, which God, he's showing that righteousness is going to do something for us that the world will be able to see if we truly get more of the facts out of our head and it enters into our heart. And so the Word of God is powerful when we look at this. Know what Jesus tells the teachers of Israel in John chapter 5. Turn there quickly. If you can't do it, go as fast, because I got a lot to get in. Write it down. In John 5, verse 39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. In verse 46, he said in a paraphrased way, he said, you tampered with what Moses said, and you're trying to tamper with what I have said. Paul wants to show from the Old Testament that the believing, those who believe, in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead is fulfilling the law by trusting that heart, because God raised Jesus from the dead to fulfill the law. Now note how Paul saw Christ in writing to Moses in the Old Testament. By the way, Paul had to quote Old Testament for the reference of what he said here in Romans chapter 10. And know how he quotes the Old Testament. Know how he relates this to believing in the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We must keep in mind that verse 9 and 10 in chapter 10 is the goal, ladies and gentlemen, that he's trying to tell us in this chapter. It's the goal, and you know who it leads to? Jesus Christ. He's telling us that everything from Genesis till you get to down when Christ came, and now from Malachi or from Revelation, which we haven't got to yet, back to where we're at, everything from where He started in the beginning to where He's going to end it, everything is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you wonder why the world hates us so much. Because you can't agree. Hey, you may agree with a lot of things, but you can't agree about how you're going to be before God if you leave Jesus Christ out. You can't agree with a person who believes that you can doubt and not trust Christ to be saved. Because if you're truly saved, you'll know that's the only way they can be saved. And you cannot find yourself agreeing with someone like that. You may agree with a lot of things and not say a lot of things, but you have to take, if you're saved, you've got to take your stand upon Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. That's what God requires us to do. Because they're not going to hear nowhere else. It's God's people who must take their stand in a loving way. But at the same time, once you take your stand about Jesus Christ, then you're going to find hatred from this world. And as we get to the end, it's going to be worse than ever before. So Paul wants to show that the Old Testament, that we see believing in our hearts, and Paul wants to show us that Christ is what Moses, God was telling Moses about in the Old Testament. In verse 5 of chapter 10, Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness, this is where Paul is talking and quoting, he's saying that Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness, which is based on the law, shall live by the law, Leviticus 18, verse 5, and that's true, but he never could. And so, but the righteousness is based on faith, says, do not say in your heart, and that's what he tells us here in these verses, if you look in verse 6 and 7. Do not say in your heart, as he talks about this, who are going to ascend up into heaven to bring Christ down. Well, don't say in your heart who are to ascend into the deep. That's to bring Christ up. But the righteous says this, the word is nigh thee, in verse 8, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What is that? The word of faith which we preach. It seems that in verse 5 through 10, Paul is justifying his assertion of what he said in verse 4. For he said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Notice again, to everyone that believeth. He's asserting that to help us understand as he leading down in 9, 10, 11 through 17, what we must do with him as far as our Savior. You see, it seems that in verse 5, Paul is doing this. It does not tell us that the law ceased to be, but he says if the law ceases to be for our righteousness, because he'd give enough time for man, and man never did keep that righteousness that the law required. It means the righteous which the law command and the righteous that Jesus gave us, watch this, are the same. And thank God, in Christ, you don't even have, you find that you can't do it to get it. But he says when he gets through, and Paul quotes what God said in the Old Testament to Moses, when he gets through, you find that he's circumcised our heart. He's made an operation on the inside that most people know nothing about. And it's done without hands. Watch as he goes through this. It's interesting. What the law demanded and what Jesus accomplished was the God's righteousness. Yet the God's law curses, and yet Jesus Christ gives us life. It's wonderful to see that. Both are attained it the same way. How? By faith in God's promises. That's through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 6 through 8, Paul quotes a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Turn there, if you will, please, quickly, and let me show you something that would bring this a light to you even more. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And look down with me, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, and 15. Watch now. Now, Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy in these chapters. And here's the place he's quoted about what I just read to you, 6, 7, along there. He said, for this commandment, Paul, here, God is speaking to Moses now, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it was not hidden from neither hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Is that not what he said when he said, with the righteous who speaking, in verse 8, but saith he, the word's nigh thee, in Romans 10, even in thy mouth? He's quoting from this verse. Notice in verse 12, but it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up? See what he's quoting? And notice, go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. That's Romans 10, 6, and 7. Neither is it beyond the sea. That's talking about the deep, Paul said, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we might bear it. Then in verse 8 of Romans 10, he says in verse 14, Deuteronomy 30, God said by inspiration to Moses, but the word is nigh thee unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In other words, he said, it's not going up to heaven to get him. He's already come. He's not going to the deep. He's already rose. But where is it at? He says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. In other words, you hear it, you know what to do, you know what to say. God's given you the words, and yet at the same time, to not let it go from here to the heart so they do what he says in Romans 10, a person cannot be saved, just like he can't be saved without Jesus Christ. So Paul quotes these verses as he gives this in chapter 10. This is a very powerful, deep, circumstance to show people exactly who's saved, what God has done for them. So why did Paul see Christ in this passage and not a Pharisaic type of presumption? If you look in chapter 30, while you're there, look in verse 6, he'd explain that the reason God commandment is not too hard, that God himself would give the power and give the ability to love him, obey him, and to live for him. Look in chapter 30 and verse 6 of Deuteronomy. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. Watch this now. And the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and thy that thou mayest live. Now, we know the word circumcision in Israel's day meant to cut away the filth of the flesh, just make it normal. Circumcision was the male people. And God, that was done physically. That caused a lot of pain. Yeah, but then you've never been circumcised, man. Because that caused pain.
Amen.
When Jesus said, and God said, the Holy Spirit said, that listen, I'm going to come do a work in your heart of circumcision. I'm going to cut something away. But it's done with our hands. A man. You can claim it because I'm going to do it. You have the means to understand what I've said. You have the means to understand more about the law. And you have the means to live a life for me because I will help you do that. If you'll trust me and let it lead from the facts to that which has to do with the heart in people's lives. Now, this answer is found, of course, in verse 6 of chapter 30. Paul does not mean that we're strong enough or good enough to attain this ourselves. He never did. He means that God is strong enough and good enough and righteous enough to bring it to near and put it in our heart and cause us to walk in it by faith if we will believe him. And then we find in Romans 10, 8, Paul heard Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, that I just read to you, is the voice of the of righteous of faith. Their faith, their hearts can truly say that the commandment is not too hard. That's what he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Remember, he says that his commandments are not grievous to us. If you look over in Romans chapter 8 with me, notice what he says. In 8, verse 4 through 2 through 4, notice Paul said, for the law of, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. Watch this, folks. Read these verses. Don't let's skim over them. Well, I read my Bible this morning. Well, did you read enough to believe what God has said, or is it just funny you don't tell someone you read the Bible? Notice what Paul says. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the new birth. No, there's a law that where you're saved. How is that? Well, it's in verse 10, chapter 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God's raised from the dead. That's just like I told you before. What is H2O? That's the law of water. What is 2 plus 2? That's one of the laws of facts of math. 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, God has given a law when it comes to salvation. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, wait, but it don't stop there. And believe in thy heart, God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's the whole thing. Now, Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and made us free from the law of sin. And no death. But look at verse 3. For what the law could not do that it was weak in the flesh, that's the Ten Commandments. Oh, that's the law of God. It was weak in the flesh. Why? No one in the flesh could keep it. It cursed. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned him sin in the flesh. You know why he said in the likeness of sinful flesh? Because Jesus Christ never sinned. This world going around, oh, yes, he did. Oh, he didn't. Jesus Christ. This Bible declares it. That's much better than hear someone just say it because they're ignorant. He did not ever sin. And here he says this, that he was in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Where? In us. Not the world, but in us. Who is the us? The child of God. It's going to be fulfilled in us. And then he goes on and he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yes, there's going to be a change of person who truly gets born again. You're not walked after the flesh. Oh, it didn't, hey, notice, walk after the flesh. That's a lifestyle. It didn't mean that you'd be so perfect that you'd do everything right. You're going to have some pitfalls. You're going to have some times you have to come before God, cry and say, God, forgive me. I didn't know that. I did that. I knew that. And I shouldn't have done it. And I did it. There's going to be some things in your life. You're going to have to come do what 1 John 9 tells, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, we confess our sins. Aren't you glad he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? But if you begin to live a lifestyle where in turn does everything in your life day by day, it's not just a hit and miss here and there, but day by day, you can check out, folks, something didn't happen in your heart. Because Jesus Christ circumcises the heart. Without hands, a man under those circumstances. And what an amazing thing. Paul doesn't mean that, you know, that we're strong enough, but he is telling us the commandment is near because God draws near to those who trust in him as their personal Savior. And so I want you to understand, the message of the law of Christ and the message of the law and Christ essentially is the same. The only thing about it is we could keep the law. If Christ hadn't come, we'd all been cursed and we'd end up where the devil and his angels at. Thank God Jesus came. Man, well, I thank God Jesus came. I don't know if you understand about that. There's a hell, and we go there without Jesus Christ. I cannot do that without breaking your heart to understand this thing is more than just religion. It's salvation. It's eternal life. It's a life for God. In these last days, it's just as important as it was in the early church time. And not get caught up with this stuff the world is saying, religion, and call it eternal life. Number three, you know what Paul said to himself. He said, if the law taught that righteousness which leads to life is not something to be attained by works, but by resting in the merciful work of God for us and in us, then all men ought to see that this is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ coming, including his incarnation and his resurrection. Even in the Old Testament, it was shattered and pictured towards the future. That's what I'm telling you. You read it where you want to. You read the Old Testament, read the New Covenant. You read the sections of grace. You read the different dispensations. You read everything that's there. But I'll tell you, every one of those appointed to Jesus Christ, though it's telling us about a situation in life. And I see, so the hope of salvation in life is not beyond our reach. That's in heaven somewhere we can't get to it. In the earth we can't get to it. Not at all. Christ has already come down from heaven approaching us in the incarnation because we cannot reach him on our own merit. The hope of salvation is life, not in this life, is not beyond our reach. It's not in the depth of the sea we can't get to it. It's not in the heavens that we rise to it because we can't rise to it on our own merit. But what it does is telling us about Jesus Christ. And we cannot reach him on our own merit, but we could reach him in Christ, and he's as near as the word of our mouth. Some belittle that. You know, it amazes me to know the difference when a person truly understands what salvation is and somebody in the world living religious don't. Because God's not left us ignorant, folks, ladies and gentlemen. The hope of salvation in life is not in our reach. You know why? Christ entered into the depths of the dead. And he rose from the grave. And now he's pursuing us for our own good pleasure, for our own be good, because we cannot pursue him in our own merit. I said, well, I love God. Are you saved? What's that got to do with everything? Because you don't know how to love God unless you're saved. Now, there's thousands across this world that will debate that. Well, tell me, I know my heart. Well, if you know your heart, then you listen to what God says about his son. And this is what the world don't like. You see, when you preach Jesus Christ, you cannot bend to accept all the other junk that's in the world. And that's what people don't like. And that's the reason you're going to find the church is suffering. It's going to suffer more and more and more. And it's suffering today in the foreign land. But listen, folks, listen to me carefully. We may not see as much here right now as we've seen in Iraq, in the Middle East, in Africa, and places. But it's coming. It's coming. Well, preacher, that's the reason, you know, there's no reason about it. It's coming. The only way can keep this nation from not getting that done sooner or later before Christ comes for the church is for him to come today or this nation repent. You don't hear that much in our day, but that's true, folks. God, help us to understand. True faith recognizes its own helplessness and accepts Jesus Christ as righteousness as a gift from God. And this is the way faith speaks in the law and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear Paul's word from Deuteronomy 36 and says that Paul hears his word, this word, and he says that the way is with Christ. God told Moses, the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and might. In Romans 10:8, God draws us to us in the word of faith. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. So the Holy Spirit writes it on our hearts, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 tells us. Now hear this, folks. Hear this and hear nothing else. Here's what Romans 10, 9, 10 is telling us, ladies and gentlemen. The heart is the faculty that we trust here. The mouth is the organ that we confess it. You hear what I said? It's the heart, the faculty that we trust him with. It's the mouth, which is the organ that we confess it so the world can see it. The world will never see God saving your heart or bringing circumcision to you or my heart. It's done with our hands. But they hear it when the organ of the mouth confesses it. Wonder why he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because it takes that. This is the faculty that God uses to trust him. And then this is the mouth to let others know that we're not ashamed of him in this life. So therefore, what the law was leading up to in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, as he read from chapter 30 and all, in fact, the whole book this way, what this is leading up to is to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of it all. Without him, we're lost. In him, as the heart becomes the faculty to trust him, according to the document of his word, and the mouth becomes the organ to confess him, brings us to the point that the world hears, and God is honored, and we're blessed for that. This would give us what the law requires, Jesus Christ. You hear what I said? The righteousness that the law requires, where we fail to keep, that righteousness is Jesus Christ. When you have him, you have it all. And what a blessing to see that. If you don't believe it, turn with me over to Colossians chapter 2. Watch what he says. Wonderful thing. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 down through 13, he says, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Watch this. Why are we complete in him? Look in verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised. Use the same term that he used over him. We looked in Deuteronomy. In whom ye are circumcised. You understand what that is? Not look it up. Physical circumcision. You know what that is? In Scripture, spiritual is talking about cutting away the filth of the flesh too. That in ye are circumcised, whom the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Once you trust Christ, he says, what happens? You are now starting with the Word of God, cutting off the things of the flesh that hinders you from serving the Lord. You can't cut it off at one time. All one time, you know what they are. So you have received from the heart, trust and confess from the mouth. And now he says, I've come in to live, to bring about this spiritual circumcision that is cutting away the filth of the flesh. And watch what he says in verse 13. And you had been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. He said, where you were at, dead in your sins, uncircumcised in your flesh, you won't cut nothing off the flesh. Maybe once in a while do a little something religiously. But notice what he says, what's happened when you come to know Christ. He said, but now and quickened together with him, been forgiven you all trespasses. Look in verse 12. He said, buried with him in baptism, whereon you also risen with him through the faith of, watch this next word, of the operation of God. You see, there's an operation for circumcision in the physical realm. And God says there's an operation for that which has to do with the spiritual realm. The earth has to do with the nature of man with his hands. But with me, it's a spiritual operation without hands, but the invisible hand of God. And he said, that's what I'll do for you. And the amazing thing about this, the fourth thing quickly, now this leads to what does it mean then to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead? This means more than agreeing with the facts. I've already told you, Satan does that and he's not saved. Faith in Christ would accept that righteousness and life of God that are beyond the reach where the keeping law cannot give us. There's no way we can keep the law enough to reach for that righteousness God demands. It's been proven. So I believe I can. Try it. and let somebody who understands what it means to watch it. You see, it ain't only talking the acts outward. It's talking about what you think here. I bet you all of us would be condemned what we think here. See, I can't see your thoughts, but God can. See what I'm saying? So no way we can turn without being condemned. Aren't you glad? Thank God, praise his holy name, that in Jesus Christ, I am not ashamed to be called a child of God. Behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us who deserve hell to be called children of God. How can I do it, Father? Christ is not waiting for us to bring him up down, bring him down from heaven up from the deep. The feeling that God is not too far, the feeling that God is too far up or too low down or too far down is gone. Christ's resurrection is God's declaration to anyone that they cannot work their way to glory, and that includes the whole human race. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has done the impossible to get us there, and this is by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, believing in your heart is much more than just accepting the fact. It means being fully confident that God in us and is for us, and that he has transformed our lives. And when he said, be ye transformed, be ye not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. He is the author of that transformation. So it means being to so confident of God's power and so confident of his love that there's no fear of worldly loss. There's no fear of greed for this worldly gain. These things will not lure us to disobey him. That is the difference between Satan and his followers and saints who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or should be. God in Christ circumcised our heart to love him, to rest in his resurrection as we're quickened in him. This is the same as Deuteronomy 36. He does it to serve, get us to serve him till we get home. And so he gives us other things. I say to you, singing stirs up the flesh in emotion and can help set the table for the Lord. But only preaching circumcises the heart. It is the preaching of God's word, as Paul told Timothy, to preach it, that brings about the cutting away. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, nobody likes to be operated on in the flesh because it hurts and brings a change. Would you agree with that? At least say amen to me then. Nobody likes not to be operated by the Holy Ghost either, because it brings change which sometimes seems to hurt us. It's not meant to, but it seems to hurt us because we have to change our lifestyle. We have to change some things in life. We have to change to be something now before that not catered by the flesh, which is satisfied. It makes us feel good, and all those things have to change of that with the Holy Spirit is teaches us now as we hide the Word of God in our heart. And in turn, we have to bring the flesh in control. And that's not easy. Not easy. It's much easier to get a bottle of alcohol, people think, and drink it to lose their problems than to trust God. It's much easier to get on dope sometimes to put the flesh down than to trust God. Not understanding, though, that only just moves the problem a little bigger, a little bigger. He helps us remove the problem. Aren't you like, brother, when he talked about Brother Jarvis the other morning in demonstration of the problem, what it was, and how you have to get right to it. You may be a long ways from it. And it was a great, great demonstration. You may be a long ways from it before you get the answer, but you have to go and go and go and get right up in the face of the problem before God may move it. So you can see what he's got on the other side. Most of the time we'll stop, you know, we're way over here with a problem. We start and start and start, and then we stop before we get to the place where God can remove it, because our faith is not strong enough at that time. Then so why did the Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah? They missed the point of the law, therefore they misused it. They missed the point of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they misused him. Both of these were by faith, and they missed it. Message of God's law in Christ was the same. I mean, the law shows us why we can't obtain the law of righteousness before God, and Jesus shows us how we can obtain it in him. For he is the law of righteousness for us because of the sin in our heart and life. And he forgives us Paul taught that the heart is the faculty of truth that trust is, but the mouth is the organ that confesses it. And then he talks about believing in the heart is more than believing the facts. God circumcises the heart when we believe the right God gives of his Son, to love him, to serve him. As we rest in him, Christ's resurrection from the dead, we must not be misled about being born again. You know that, folks? We must not be led. What Jesus said in John 3:7? He said, we must not be led. Jesus said this, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Can't you see it's very easy for Satan to say, well, he said that, but he also said in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I talked to a fellow this week, just yesterday, Saturday, about salvation. And he said, oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, you do? Well, yeah. I bet you 75%, 100%, 80% of the people in this town, if you asked them they believe in Jesus, most of them would tell you they would. They did. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's not easy. It's easy for us. It didn't cost us a thing. But the heart's where you trust that. Thou shalt confess to the mouth, the organ, and believe in the heart, the faculty, that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Would you stand to your feet, please? Understanding Romans 10, 9, and 10. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this study. I believe it has shown me things, the answer, that no way I can get others to see it unless they wouldn't believe it. More so about why so many people in our day claim to be saved, and yet there's no evidence of it much at all, except once in a while it gets in spurts. Person start going to church a few months and then they get out. Person start to obey God and certain then they quit. And if there's those things that nobody knows but maybe one or two people, they just quit completely. Because to them, nobody knows, and they convince themselves somehow or another that God don't really care. I'm glad you care, Lord, for human beings. I'm glad you sent your only begotten Son, my Father, to die and was buried and rose again the third day for our justification, that those who would believe the record that God gave of his Son, he would birth them to the family of God. I'm glad I understand as the need what you need for physical birth, more so when I got saved. I didn't have to understand all this when I got saved. How a child was born in this world with a seed and an egg. And the egg's no good without the seed, and, dear Father, the egg is discarded within a period of time. But the seed is there. A man, and he enters the egg. From the outside source, it comes in and bursts into new life. Lord, you gave us that understanding with Nicodemus in John 3. How the Word of God is the seed of God. 13, it spread. You tell us where it falls most of the time, but you do tell us. It talks about the wayside, stony ground, and different places. But Lord, you did tell us there'd be some that would fall on good ground. That's those who would say, Lord, I believe it. I trust Jesus. I receive your Son. And when we, who cannot do nothing for ourselves, and one day we'll be discarded in hell without Jesus Christ, the seed of God, with the Word of God. God says that Word is the seed, and Jesus is that Word, according to John 1. When it falls on good ground, it's just like a seed of a man into it, for physical birth on that good ground. There's a wonderful explosion of new life, eternal life, the very life of God that comes in that person because they literally believe from the heart what they knew God said and confessed it from their mouth unashamed. Help someone see that today. Help someone, maybe, Lord, who's waving on the fence somehow or another, and they were saved, but they hadn't gotten much further than the playpen of a child in the world, in the spiritual world. It's still around the playpen. Lord, help them see there's more to it. And this is how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help them see Dear Father, God's done more than this and just made a little way that one can hopefully be in heaven one day. God's made the way, because Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Honor yourself today. Holy Spirit, I pray this body has allowed you to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to John 14:16, you said that's exactly why he's going to come. And I pray somehow or another that we have honored you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we honor our Heavenly Father because we try to take our stand with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.